trace of the coursing through my veins. I see you talking, but I can't hear a thing. From the tips of my fingers to the freckles on my nose, there's a strange kind of feeling buzzing in my bones. Ooh, can't drown it. Crazy.
Good afternoon, dear listener, and welcome to another fresh edition of Express Yourself. First up today's show, we just had the pleasure of listening to, and now I have the delight to interview, social activist and accomplished performing artist Heather May. Heather, are you on there?
I am. Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking some time out of the drive, is my understanding. What state are you in right now?
I'm currently in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Good fun.
Yeah, we are performing tonight at the CSPS Hall here in Cedar Rapids.
So. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
No, thank you for joining us. And the reason for this particular phone call is you may be in Iowa right now, but you will be in Carbondale by Thursday, or at least everybody hopes so, to perform at Steve's Guitars on the 20th.
Yes. I'm very excited. It's my first show ever in Carbondale.
I was just going to ask. Oh, man, I hate to gush, but you could not have picked a better venue.
Oh, man, I'm so excited. I have so many friends who've played there, and so this is my first time ever in Carbondale, and it's an honor just to have my first show be at Steve's Guitars.
Oh, that's fantastic. So how then did Carbondale end up on your docket if you haven't been here before?
So my booking agent, I love playing in Colorado. I have a fan base in Colorado from playing in Denver and Lions and Telluride. As an LGBTQ artist and songwriter and social justice songwriter, we were looking at places to stop along our Singing Out tour, which is a tour for Pride Month. And a fan recommended Carbondale and just said, like, you know, this town is exceptional and you really need to come through. And it's been something I've always wanted to go to. So I'm so excited that Steve's Guitars and Steve at Steve's Guitars is having us this time around. So, yeah.
No, that's great. That's great. Also, happy Pride.
Thank you.
For sure, for sure. So you actually already dropped some buzzwords that always make my heart sing. You mentioned social activism in music. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so in 2013, I got nodules in my vocal cords and was told I would never be able to sing again, which kind of stopped everything and made me reevaluate what I was doing in my career because, you know, I pretty much made a vow to God that if I ever got the chance to do this thing again, if I ever got the chance to sing, I would dedicate my whole career to writing music that made the world a better place. And I have since kept that vow. And my last record, I Am Enough, was a record about body positivity and racial injustice. And, of course, I actually came out in my music. And my next record, Glimmer, comes out in September. And that record is about mental health and eradicating the stigma surrounding mental illness.
Wow. In a former life, I used to sing. Vocal nodules was the nightmare. I mean, that was just,
it was horrible.
Yeah, that was really the nail in the coffin that you always avoided. I'm so thrilled to hear that you overcame that.
I did. 8 months of silence, but I did it.
Wow. Did you pick up a meditation practice during that? I mean, I can't even imagine.
Yeah. I picked up therapy is what I did, girl. I picked up therapy.
Good for you.
That's what I did. And I really started diving into just like self-liberation work and hearing, because when you're totally silent, you can't help but hear the voices in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't so nice to me. And I realized that I am not alone in that. And so I needed to write about it. So I started writing poetry. I couldn't, even when I was told I would be able to sing, I couldn't go back into it because it was like PTSD. Mm-hmm. I was so scared of hurting myself again. So I just let myself just think the things that I was thinking, and then I put them to paper, and I started to heal, you know, from within. And then eventually those poems and the songs, those turned into songs that would then help my fans, which I call my amazing humans.
Sure. You know, it's so funny that you mentioned that you started hearing those voices and kind of got in tune with those voices in a moment of silence. I was just having a fascinating conversation the other night with a friend of mine who's an actor, and he's currently playing a character who is a brother to a deaf woman. And his character starts hearing voices. And he said in his research for the character, one of the symptoms of hearing voices is actually going deaf. That silence is when all of a sudden we tap into what's going on in the subconscious, as it were. And I'm so fascinated by your journey in that. Did you've really come out and embraced mental health and body positivity and really just being kind to yourself from what it sounds like. Did you have a relationship with your mental health in that way before you kind of had to, silence was forced upon you?
No, super no. I mean, so my therapist says that there are some major reasons why, very common reasons that land people in therapy, and one of which is life transitions, the major life transitions, so like getting fired, failing, divorce, you know, those kinds of things, death. And for me, it was this trauma of like my whole life since I was, literally since like The Little Mermaid when I was like two, I've been singing my whole life, and every other sentence was like a melody to me. And then all of a sudden it was just completely taken away from me. And that was the best, worst thing to ever happen to me, because it put me on this really hard, but it put me on this journey of like realizing why I'm meant, what I could do with my life, and how I could help the world. I was definitely not somebody that went to therapy. I always had undiagnosed bipolar disorder in just huge swings in my mood. And I just was living my life that way. You know, like that was the normal. Like I didn't need any help. I didn't deserve help, and it wasn't until this, like, horrific thing happened that I realized I do need help, and I can help others as well.
Was it completely liberating or completely terrifying to get that diagnosis finally?
Oh, I mean, it was like a movie. It was like a movie. I remember walking out of the doctor's office. And first off, I was a musician at the time who was just like, I had no idea how to save money. I had no idea how to do anything. And like, I literally looked at my doctor and looked at my ENT, and I was like, I can't afford for you to even put a scope down my throat. Like, I need you to help me figure out if I have nodules. She like manually did it back in like the old days. She like clamped my tongue, pulled it out, and then like looked down and saw that there were like there's this huge cyst and a nodule. And she was like, yep, you have it. And you're going to need to go silent, or you're going to lose your ability to sing. And she actually used the words, I don't think you're ever going to sing again, which was horrific. I mean, just absolutely horrific. And I went to my car. I mean, I'm not kidding. It was like a movie. I sat in my car. I held it together until I got to closed the door. And then I just like banshee screamed with these nodules in my vocal cords. And that was like one of the last big sounds I ever made with those vocal cords, those damaged vocal cords. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was hard. But I wouldn't take it away. I literally would not change anything. I mean, it was a really hard 8 months of silence, you know, because I didn't know if I would ever build. I mean, I started painting furniture because I thought maybe I would be like a furniture maker. I mean, like literally like the things that I was like, I've given it up. I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to make furniture for a living.
Oh,
and,
no.
And Yeah, but I wouldn't change anything because it got me, I always say, it was the best, worst thing to ever happen to me.
Sure, sure. And, you know, it's interesting that you touched on, unfortunately, the realities of being an American and dealing with the American healthcare system. And, you know, you've got this, the cliche is the starving artist, you know, it's either incredibly lucrative or not at all, right?
And, right, totally.
So as you had to do the transition of just managing, you know, the medical expense of, oh my gosh, there's something physically wrong with me, to, oh my gosh, I need some care and medicine on my mental health side. You know, what was there a moment that made you realize, no, this is worth the investment?
Yes, absolutely. It was about 2 months into having nodules, where, you know, I had not gotten a vocal coach. I hadn't gotten any kind of like anyone other than this one ENT who told me I couldn't sing. And I just went into this like really deep depression, bigger than I've ever had ever before or since then. And I remember sitting, because I had moved back home with my family because I couldn't afford to pay rent because I was no longer performing for a living. So I had no way of making my way. And I moved back home with my parents, and I remember sitting on my couch, my parents' couch, when it was like 3 p.m. in the afternoon, so nobody was home yet, and I remember like looking at my hands and remembering the feeling of playing the piano and just feeling like my hands were useless. And I had this thought, this like wave of just like, and this is a trigger warning, I want to say this is a trigger warning for anybody that's listening, that there was just this wave of like, I'm just going to give it up. There's no point in me being here. And as soon as I heard that voice, my girlfriend walked in. And she looked at me and she saw that there was something wrong with me. And I just immediately just said to her, I need help. And she goes, I know you do. And that's when we got my family involved. And I had a little bit of savings. So I literally took everything I owned and sold it and found a therapist that worked for me. A therapist who was LGBTQ friendly, a therapist who was body positive, and a therapist who was understanding of this. I couldn't really speak in therapy, so like, how was I supposed to like talk about what I was going through? And I found an amazing person who literally saved my life.
How did you communicate with your therapist when you can't speak? I hadn't thought of that until you mentioned it.
Yeah, it was a lot of like texting and a lot of like drawing and a lot of like writing. I mean, I spoke a little bit, but it was like in whispers. Mm-hmm. So I had to be somebody that I was comfortable with like sitting in close proximity with, because like I really spoke incredibly quiet, and it was an hour of speaking. So that was like my one time that I could like make sound. It was difficult, which is why it was really important. And this is what I say to my amazing humans or my fans, like it is essential that every single person have somebody that they can talk to and feel comfortable with when they're crying. Mm-hmm. Because every human being struggles with pain. Whether you're diagnosed with mental illness, you need someone to talk to. Otherwise it gets locked up, and that feeling of just that absolute closure on your emotions, it can really cause some damage. So I'm so grateful for having a community of people around me who really saw what I was going through and recognized it as not just, oh, she's just a girl who has some, like vocal nodules, she can't sing, she'll get over it. But like, oh, there's something serious here. Let's take this seriously. And so many of my fans don't have that. And that is why I made the vow that I was going to write a record that was going to be like a tool that they could pull out and feel validated and feel seen and understood.
No, and I so commend you on that work. I was in an interview earlier this week. I also write for the newspaper, and this gentleman I was interviewing for a story told me a heartbreaking statistic. If you ever needed validation for your work, he said that, you know, he had been up at the Aspen Institute and heard a moderator say that by the year 2030, they're anticipating more deaths in the United States from mental disease than physical. And that shook me to my core. So, I mean, just having that conversation in other ways of expression than just talking about it, I really commend you with your music. That's
Thank
incredible.
Thank you. Yeah, one in four Americans struggle with mental illness. I mean, like, anybody who's listening to this, if you're sitting in a room or a coffee shop, you should like totally look around the room right now and recognize that's a whole lot of crazy people like sitting around you. Like, we need to be talking about it more. And so, and music, yeah. Oh my God, music has made revolution. I mean, it has created real change. And so that's why I'm not, you know, I'm using my words wisely, is because I really want to help. I mean, I want to leave a legacy behind of like actually helping humans.
Yeah. When you are writing, I mean, how do you find your music? Is it when you're in a really balanced, like, I have a higher calling place? Or is it when you're in the throes of an episode, for lack of a better word?
Yeah. So, no, episode is actually a great word. It's a word that most people can relate to, and it's a really great way of describing whatever experience anyone's going through. So episode is how I describe it. I would actually say I don't really have a system. I have, with Glimmer, I had an experience, is what I would say, because I got home from tour. With musicians, you have a record, and then you, like, finish out the rotation, and you tour it as much as you can, and then after a while, you're like, okay, it's time to write another one or go into the studio and record the new material. And my rotation for I Am Enough lasted about 2 years, and then after that, it was like, I came home, I had a huge tour that literally finished within Asheville, North Carolina, where I had 800 women just like applauding so loudly in a room, and it was so amazing, and it felt so validating. And then literally the next day, I'm sitting on my couch eating mac and cheese by myself, and I just went into this, like, because I have bipolar disorder, and I'm somebody who is literally in a bipolar career. I just went into this super deep depression, and I told my wife, like, at the time I was in between medications. They could not figure out which one was working for me, and honestly, the side effects were worse than my actual bipolar disorder at the time, because I was just swinging so high that sometimes I'd be so low I would be comatose. I couldn't get out of bed before 3 p.m. And then sometimes it would be so manic that I couldn't sleep for days. So I decided with my psychiatrist that I'm going to do this. I'm going to write my way through this wave of in-between medications. I'm going to write my way through it. And I got, thanks, and I suggest this to anybody that ever goes off their medication or changes medication, is make sure you do it with a doctor. You have a community around you. So I say this with, you know, a warning, that that is what I did. And I had my psychiatrist on board, and my therapist on board, and my doctor, and my wife, and my family, and everybody knew what I was going through. So when I was in a low, you know, I expressed it. I talked about it with my family, but I 100% wrote myself through it. And I wanted to find a way to, like, you know, this is my brain, and it hurts a lot of the time, you know. There's got to be a reason, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to help my fans with really what I was going through. So my song that you just played, Feeling Crazy, is about the prescription medication, like Roller Coaster. And the actual title song, Glimmer, is about when you are in a depression and you are slowly lifting yourself out of it, that fresh air that everybody is always looking for who struggles with anxiety or depression. It's like that first breath of air of, like, hope. And that's what that one is about. And there's all these different, I've written from every angle of mental health, because, you know, none of my fans are the same, because no brain is the same. So, yeah, that's kind of how I wrote that one.
Oh, man. Well, I wish that I could chat with you further. I am so thrilled that you found your voice through silence, really. And you did write your way out of it. And I cannot wait for you to come to Carbondale. I think it's going to be a very mutual embrace.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor. I'm really excited to come to Carbondale.
I think Carbondale's going to be excited to host you. So thank you. Thank you. Good luck tonight. Or is it Merritt? I don't even know what you say to a singer-songwriter before a performance. But
Break a leg.
They're here. Break a leg. Absolutely. So Break a Leg, Heather May, coming to Carbondale, playing at Steve's Guitars on Thursday, June 20th. I'm so thrilled that we were able to kind of preview that and get to know you through both your music and speaking voice today. So thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great rest of your day and drive safely.